Okay, I was going to ask, I wasn't going to put this up, but I was going to ask all the computer geeks what WWW stands for.
World Wide Web.
Yeah, World Wide Web. Unless you're in James. Then it stands for words. Yeah, it stands for works, words, and wisdom. That's what James is talking about, and I thought I'd... So whenever you see WWW, don't think World Wide Web. Think works, words, and wisdom. So it'll be... Because nobody really cares about WWW anymore, really. Nobody even thinks about it. Anyway, so what we're going to be talking about is wisdom, and I want to give a couple examples. Because James is right. Again, he's writing to a group of people that were Jews brought up in a Jewish community. They had been dispersed out of Jerusalem, and Gary Inrig's title for Book of James is Tough Faith in Tough Times. So these people were facing difficult issues, and James is kind of walking them through these difficult issues. And he's going to talk about wisdom. He talked about wisdom early on in the book, and I forget what verse it is. I should have wrote it down. But I want to give a kind of an example of kind of what verse 13 talks about, and we'll get into it in a minute. This is a personal illustration of the Lamborns. Remember, their tree was hit by lightning. Did anybody see it the other, you know, when they were at their house? So I gave him a name of a guy that cuts down trees. And I thought of saying, you know, well, I was kind of in Boy Scouts, my patrol used to win the tree felling contest every year. You have to put a stake in the ground, and you'd cut the tree down, and you'd have to see, whoever got the tip of the tree closest to your stake won. So we used to win every year. And I thought, I could probably bring my chainsaw over and help him cut the tree down, because I know and had some skill on how to cut the tree down. If he didn't want me to do that, I gave him the name of Mizell, the tree guy that could cut that tree down. And I didn't really make that offer to cut his tree down because I was busy, but they called the guy that really understood how to cut a tree down. You know, in the woods, cutting a tree down is one thing. It doesn't make it fall on your house or your tent. But this guy knows how to cut down the tree. What's interesting, and he had the skill, and you know, I've watched these guys, and I thought, it looks pretty easy, really. How hard can it be? Well, anyway, they cut their tree down. The interesting thing was, after they cut it down, I don't know if you guys asked him, but he gave them a tip of advice. Don't plant another tree in the same spot. Didn't he say that? And this is kind of what James is going to start talking about, the difference between skill and wisdom. You know, the guy had the skill to cut the tree down, but he gave him a piece of advice, the wisdom of knowing, I've done that. You do not want, if any of you ever cut a tree down, I actually appreciated that advice, because we just had a tree cut down, and I thought, I'm going to put one right in this exact same spot. And the guy said, you really don't want to do that. I don't know why. So that's kind of, there's this whole idea of wisdom and skill. There's kind of a difference. And Gary Inrig asked the question, you know, think of the smartest person you know. You know, that's kind of one of my, I wish I was smarter. You know, I mean, I have some really smart friends. We met some really smart people in seminary. And then think about the wisest person you know. Are they the same? There's a difference between smart and wise. Okay. And James is going to, he's writing to Jews who knew what wisdom meant. And we're going to read some verses early on. But I want to, there's a story in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3. You can write this down. I'll read this story to you. It's 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. This is when Solomon it's a story about Solomon. In verse 5 it says, in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish me to give you. And the question, I asked Diane that the other day, if God came to you in a dream and said, what would you like me to give you? You know, what would you say? New car, new... Anyway, It says in verse 6, "Then Solomon said, Thou hast shown loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he has walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have reserved for him the great loving kindness that you have given him, a son to sit on his throne as it is to this day. And now, O Lord, you have made your servant king in this place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in." So he had to be little. You know, and when people talk about Solomon, there's questions about when he wrote Ecclesiastes. Was that before he asked this or after? And there's this whole, but there's actual kind of interesting wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes. So he's asking this question. I'm a little child. I don't even know how to come in and go out. And your servant is in the midst of the people which you have given, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. So Psalm's like, what am I going to do as king? And he says in verse 9, "So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, who is able to judge this great people of yours." So he basically asks for wisdom. This little kid asks for wisdom. And it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself to discern, to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise, discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you." So there's this is kind of the context of the Jewish mindset is that James is writing to. And I gave out some other verses about, and there's a couple in the Old Testament and one passage in the New Testament. Who has, did I give all the Proverbs to one person? Who has Proverbs 1:7? I give you 1:7 and 9:10, right? So they basically say the same thing. And these were obviously a proverb. And wisdom and knowledge, I mean, it sometimes are interchangeable in the Old Testament. And I think mine said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So go ahead. And then 9:10.
Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.
So in the whole idea of this sense of wisdom is to know God and to fear God. That's the context that James is writing to these people. They're Jews. They understand. They have heard those proverbs over and over and over again. They knew about Solomon asking for this one thing, wisdom. Just give me wisdom so that I can discern good and evil. And then Proverbs 4:7. Who had that? It's like, and so one translation says, and this is wisdom. Get wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to, and it's not so much smarts, it is wisdom. The wisest thing I can tell you is get wisdom. And what's wisdom? The fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And then, Diane, this is an Old Testament. This is in 1 Corinthians. And a lot of this is moved, you know, it moves into the New Testament, the idea of wisdom. Paul talks about it. But this is this in 1 Corinthians where, you want to read it?
Yes. Oh, I'm changing.
It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23. Let me put it in a little bit of context first. Because It starts in verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. And then it goes on a little bit. But read, start in verse 23, Dan. So there's this sense, when we move from the Old Testament and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Paul says, look around. God has chosen the weak things of the world, not all the wise. I'm going to think of Italian. Not all the wise guys. He's chosen the weak things to confound the wise. He's chosen the poor. And then he says at the end, in verse 30, by his doing you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So there is this sense when James is writing to these people, he's writing and saying to us, you have this wisdom. When you became a believer, God's wisdom was implanted in you, just like his sanctification and his redemption. Okay, there's this sense that when you came to him, you came in the fear of God. You understood what he did at the cross. And now you have, that's what Paul says in Corinthians. Jesus has now become the wisdom of God in us. Okay? So Paul, as James, let me read verses 13 through, let me look at my notes here first. And what he's going to talk about here, and again, Gary calls this the wise and the otherwise. There's going to be two kinds of wisdom in here. There's going to be worldly wisdom, and then there's godly wisdom. And you don't have to know Greek and Hebrew. When you read through this, it's really very, very simple in terms of understanding what James is talking about. Verse 13. And he asked the question, well, in the beginning of chapter 3, he said, don't let many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. Then he talks about the tongue. And then in verse 13, he says, well, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show his good behavior. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but it is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceful, and gentle, and reasonable, and full of mercy, with good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So it's not hard to understand this contrast. Is it hot in here? Yeah. Can we turn the fans on? Weird. I don't know. It was cold in here this morning? Okay. So anyway, there's these two types of wisdom. And what he says in verse 13, basically, well, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. That if you are wise, it will show. That's what we talked about, where James talks about faith works. If you have faith, it will show. And you know, if we understand what Paul said in Corinthians, when you became a believer, you are infused with God's wisdom, and it's going to show. And as I thought through this, and it says, let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. And I wrote down here, gentlemen. You know, that is a different gentleman. There's this whole... I was on coming back from Phoenix just last week. We got on the plane, and the guy sitting behind me, there were about three or four guys, pretty big guys. They had camo hats, and they were guys, you know. And the guy was talking on his phone. He says, well, we just got back from a wild boar hunt in East Texas, and we all got one. And I was like, there's this, and maybe I'm just talking to the guys, but it's like, guys want it. Now it's hotter. Is the heat on?
It just takes a while to turn off.
Does it?
Sorry.
Okay.
It's blowing all that heat down on you.
Oh. Oh, is it?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got all that heat down. That wasn't real wise, was it, to turn on the... No, anyway. So there's this sense, when you read this, and James is saying, if you're a wise person, it should show in your behavior and your deeds, in his deeds, in the gentleness of wisdom. And we got to be careful of this kind of macho thing. And that's what he's going to get into in a minute, about guys wanting to be, you know, tough. And I thought that would be, I'm not sure I could even shoot a pig. I don't know. But it struck me when I was reading all this, and these guys behind me are talking about hunting wild boar. And I felt kind of wimpy, to be honest with you. It's like, remember that old book that came out a few years ago called Wild at Heart? Remember that book? Should we turn that off now? Should we get the heat? Yeah, now the heat's coming.
Now the heat's actually on.
No, I just turned it off. You might click.
Yeah, it did. It's off
now. Oh, there we go.
Okay.
That's the AC. Now it's going to start dripping on us. Sorry. That's all right. But as you think, just read those words, the gentle deeds of wisdom. There's this sense that if you're wise, you don't have to be this macho, tough. And think, there's two guys. Did I give anybody numbers 12, 3?
Yes.
I think, yeah. There's two guys that kind of epitomize who a guy is. One of them is Moses. And read Numbers 12, verse 3.
Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth.
He was gentle and humble. Moses, if anybody could have been cocky and arrogant, it would have been Moses. But Numbers says he was more humble than any man on the face of the earth. So that's kind of an Old Testament version. Read, it's got
Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul.
The Savior, the epitome of who a man should be, and said, take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle. When James is writing this stuff, I mean, he saw his brother, his half-brother, grow up. He lived with him. He saw his gentleness and his humility. If, you know, again, you think about the Savior and what he could have done, and again, I think Geisler said, whenever you ask a question about Jesus, you got to ask kind of two, as a man and as God. You know, I don't know how he was able, he was God-man, but to put up with this, the humility and that he would, as a man, humble himself, that he emptied himself of who God, of who he was. And that's who James is. He said there is this, when you have wisdom, you will let it show by your good behavior and in deeds, and his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. There are not a lot of business books telling leaders to be gentle. You know, and I tell you, what's the program with Mark Cuban on that has all those guys that they you're going to borrow money from them? Shark Tank. You know, they don't title it Minnow Tank. You know what I mean? It's not like gentleness. These guys are going to be gentle to you. And yet, two of the great, our Messiah, Jesus, and Moses are both called, God called Moses the most humble, gentle man on this earth. So then you go, verses 14 through 16 is this contrast. You've got Moses, Jesus, and this gentleness that God has infused in us as believers. Then you get verses 14 through 16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it is earthly and natural and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. What does Paul says in the beginning of Romans? Professing to become wise, they became fools. There's this, and we all, just read through these things. Bitter jealousy. Again, Diane and I were talking about this, I'm guessing, I think it's in Corinthians where Paul says, I'm not even sure of my own motives sometimes. I'm guessing there were probably times in my life that I've had selfish ambition, even as a believer. You know, there might be times, and bitter jealousy. You know, I might look around and think, you know, there's guys I graduated with that have been real successes. And sometimes I might feel a little bit of jealousy. And Gary Enrich said, he had a quote from C.S. Lewis, said, when we have that, understand that when we, jealousy or bitterness or compare, we are always comparing ourselves to somebody else. I just did it, you know. Well, compared to some of the guys I graduated with, you know, and compared to Mark Taylor, I am not very smart. And compared to some nice actor, I'm not that good looking. Whoever you could, it's always comparing yourself with somebody. C.S. Lewis said, it's really think about who you are, who God has made you. He didn't make me to be Mark Taylor or Gary Enrich or Chuck Swindoll. And we just watched a movie last night. Has anybody ever seen the movie The Kid? Have you seen that? Who's the actor? Bruce Willis. It's an odd Bruce Willis movie because, you know, he's like this, huh? Yeah, well, yeah, he's a real successful guy and this kid's in his house. It turns out it's him. And he's like, then at the end of the movie, he sees himself older. And I thought about this. It's the opposite of, this is what C.S. Lewis wants to think about who you are. That's who we, you know, and he was able to talk to this kid. And every boy that's ever grown up and been on a playground has either been in a fight, been beat up. You can't grow up in Chicago and not at least be beat up once. really. And so I kind of relate. But he talks to the kid, and I think that's what C.S. Lewis was talking about. We compare. Just think about who you are, who God called you to be, the wisdom he gave you, not my wisdom. It's God's wisdom. It's the gentleness of his wisdom that he's infused into you. We were watching a video. Diane's teaching this worldview class, and there was a video. I don't know. Did you post it on Facebook? Of that, there's an astrophysicist at Stanford or UCLA, someplace, and he went on and on and showed these stars, a picture of the, and there was this one real bright star, and he said that's a supernova, and it had exploded 30 billion years ago, and when it had exploded, those particles became part of you. Some of those particles became your right hand. Some of it became your left hand. And he said, and that star died for you. Forget Jesus. Forget Jesus. And he got not a standing ovation. He got an applause.
And laughter.
And laughter. Professing to become wise, they became fools. Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, arrogant. You want to just scream and go, and where did the stuff from the star come from? And James goes on and he says it's earthly and natural and demonic, the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's worldly wisdom. That's wisdom that does not come from God. And you can't be in business long. You can't be in the world long. You can't watch the news without seeing arrogant, foolish, selfish ambition. Oh, I am sorry you're having trouble with your health insurance. And there's and the result is disorder. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be an astrophysicist to look around and have your heart just, oh no. This is worldly wisdom. This isn't, and there's disorder in every evil thing. And then verse 17, there's this contrast. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first. And he put pure first. There's seven things he said. Let me go through them quick. It's pure. It's peace-loving. It's gentle. It's reasonable. It's full of mercy. It is unwavering. It is without hypocrisy. You contrast that with bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, arrogant, earthly and natural and demonic and disorder with it's pure. God, when we got saved, he made you and me holy and pure, washed all of my sin away. You know, sometimes I wish he would have washed all the memories away. There has to be a good reason. It's peace-loving. The whole peace of Jews, when they greet people, it's shalom. It's peace. There's this sense of, and you look around. Do people look real peaceful? Does the world look peaceful? Just our, there's struggles and fears, and James is saying, but wait a minute, the wisdom from above is pure and peace-loving and gentle. One of the translations was sweet reasonableness, gentle. I mean, most guys don't grow up thinking, I want to be gentle. And yet, that's the very, and that's what Jesus calls himself. Come to me. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you peace. For my yoke is easy. And I'm misquoting it. But I am gentle and humble of heart. It's reasonable. It's gentle. It's that word reasonable can mean submissive. It's teachable. If you're wise, you will listen. Are we recording this? I'll tell you a story after when I turn it off. You have to be teachable. We have to listen. Some things we may, I might be wrong. Diane might be right. No. but we got, right? I mean, we have to be teachable, reasonable, full of mercy. I would never put that, I should, I think I'd put that on. What if you put this on your resume? Oh, I'm pure and peace-loving and gentle. Well, we need guys that are going to fight these contractors. And I'm full of mercy. I'll be nice to those guys. They don't want it. And yet this is what God says wisdom is. Full of mercy, unwavering. Another translation is impartial. It's impartial. James talked about that earlier. You're treating the rich better than you're treating the poor. You're treating blacks different than whites. Why are you doing that? Jews different than Greeks, or women different than men. You're impartial. God's mercy is impartial. It doesn't matter who you are, what color you are, what race you are, what gender you are. It is impartial. Wisdom looks at everybody and goes, "You're a creation of God." That's what he said earlier. One minute my tongue is praising God, and then I curse and I thirst the very creation that God made. James is saying, wait. Think about how this mercy, how this wisdom it changes your heart. And you are without hypocrisy, sincere. And I've told you what that meant. They used to do that with clay pots. If the pot was cracked, they would put wax in it, and you could hide it. And sincere is the word for without wax. It's real. The pot you get is real. So it's be sincere, without hypocrisy. And what if people say, "Well, I don't go to church because there's so many hypocrites"? Well, don't come, because then you're going to ruin it. So I start looking at this stuff, and I go, I've got two questions. And then I'll tell that story about when I turn this off. Who would you rather be around? Who would you rather be around? And we're around this, and if you're in the world, you're around it every day. Would you rather be around bitter, jealous, selfish ambition, arrogant people, and disorder, and natural? Would you rather be around that? Or would you rather be around pure, peace-loving, gentle, reasonable? I mean, that's a no-brainer question, right? The next question is, who would I rather be? Who would I rather be? When we went on this interview, one of the questions was, why should we hire you? And how the guy said, well, obviously you like to tell stories and teach. How do you get the job done? And I said, well, I have people that help me get there. But I said, sometime, if you hire me, we are going to be back in this room and you're going to be mad at me. There's going to be hiccups. There's going to be struggles. And what I got to tell you is, we won't walk away. We'll stand up. If I did something wrong, we'll. And it was like, and the only reason, because I was so nervous about this interview, I got up in the morning and started reading Ravi Zacharias. It was about joy. And I was like, I'm just going to go in here happy and not worry about what this guy thinks of me and what he, and just be me. And if they're looking for somebody, the other guy that was coming after me is about 6'4". He is overbearing, you know. And I thought, I'm going to be as big of a contrast as I can be to this guy. Anyway, there's Solomon was a young man when he asked for wisdom and discernment. James chapter 3, verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. Don't, that list that I just gave you, and I thought about this, peace, love, pure, peace-loving, gentle, reasonableness, full of mercy, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Don't make this another to-do list. Just let it come out. And it ought not be, watch this. Watch me be merciful. All of a sudden, you're going to be jumped into the arrogant. This isn't a watch this. This is what, as believers, this is what God has given us. So when you when we struggle in the world, when we have these conflicts with kids that are just, you know, or coworkers, or you see arrogant, selfish ambition in the world, and it's uncomfortable, it's because you are a new creation. Don't look at yourself in comparison of others. Think about who God made you and how he can make you gentle and merciful, because that's who he is, and you're his son and his daughter. I'm going to...